Hello and welcome to the Walking Leader podcast. I am your host, David Guerra, and I am also the author of The Walking Leader, the 20 rules you can follow now to guide you down the path of leadership greatness in your organization. How are you? Thank you for stopping by. I hope all is well. And I thank you again for listening to the podcast. I hope you've liked all the podcasts so far. And sure, we'd love to hear from you, get a little feedback, see how things are, well, how you like them, how you don't like them, what comments, questions, that all that good stuff. And again, you can always follow me at Dave Guerra on Twitter.com, DaveGuerra on Twitter. And you can email me, Dave@DaveGuerra.com. And kind of we'll go from there. Like I said, this is, well, I didn't say, I'm saying it now. This is episode 19. That means we are working on rule number 18 of the Walking Leader. And so let's get started. Rule number 18, be genuine and be authentic. Over the years, I've seen many wonderful people be genuine and be authentic. I have seen them remain true to their word and committed and dedicated to what they believe in. Folks, that's a very good thing. Then again, I've also seen some of the most horrifying thoughts, words, and deeds that people could possess and put into action. I mean, they scare me. They made me wonder how individuals could reach such depths. I mean, how can, say, a member of the community, a highly respected member of the community, somebody in a position of authority, someone who is in a position to shape minds and create ideas and generate ideas in others, could have such a disturbing mindset? I mean, seriously, how do they hide it so well? You know, it baffles me. Sometimes it is difficult to see people for who they are. Then again, sometimes all you have to do is scratch the surface, peel back that first layer, and there you go. Now, remember, I am not a practicing psychologist, nor do I play one on TV, so I won't begin to go into the psychoanalytical reasons for what drives people to be that way. However, I do know one thing. I have seen many people afraid to admit that they need help, so much that they have lost their careers, their families, and the trust of the people who love them. It's terrible. In Berlin, I had the pleasure of meeting a young officer, a second lieutenant, who arrived at my unit that I was assigned to, full of fire and gusto, but he also had a love for the party life. I guess it was difficult for him to let go of the college, quote-unquote, frat life. It was time to get to work, but not this guy. See, I mean, he worked hard, don't get me wrong. He played hard, but he partied even harder. And, well, that was his way, you know, for a while. And that is until one day he was gone. See, in the military, if you are quickly removed from a unit, you obviously did something very, very wrong. It wasn't until much later that I found out that his drinking and partying had caught up with him. The sad part of all of this story is that all he had to do was admit he had a problem and wanted to get help. However, you know, he didn't. See, if he had done that, his career as an officer in the United States Army would still be intact. But that wasn't the case. Now, I believe he would, I mean, he had this charisma, so I definitely believe that he would have been one of those great officers. You know, the kind that, aside from the frontline soldiers really like, but he had that charisma that people would have walked fire through him. All he had to do was say, I need you to walk through fire, and they would have gone. They would have done it. But, you know, unfortunately, now none of us will ever really know what he would have become or what he would have been had he asked for help. Now, since 1985, and that's when I first joined the military, there have been plenty of people who have popped in and out of my life who have served as examples of what to do and obviously cautionary tales of what not to do. Now, luckily there have been even more people who have shown me what I should be doing right, and that's a good thing. Yet, in my mind, the cautionary tales always seem to stick out the most. That's just the way it is. Now, those are the ones that serve as a catalyst for me to continue to be a good example for my children, for my family, for my peers, for my coworkers, for everybody. Because somebody has to be. So, to be genuine and to be authentic, it's kind of like all the other rules. This one's going to be one of the most difficult as well as the easiest. It will be easy for first-time managers because they are full of energy and have the willingness to change the world. this might not be the case for seasoned managers who have encountered a few difficulties over the years. The veterans of the organizations have seen leadership programs come and go, and so they are more suspect of anything that comes or anything that goes against what they've been taught or learned the hard way. The concepts behind the walking leader are hardly new, what I'm trying to do here, but in a world loaded with 7 Habits and TQM and ISO 9000, 9001, 20 whatever, Six Sigma and so on and whatever the catchphrase of the day or the training or the quality control model of mode of the day is, or, you know, it doesn't matter. The walking leader is not formally on the map, but the core concepts of the walking leader of 7 Habits, TQM, anything quality control, Six Sigma, black belt, green belt, yellow belt, whatever, those are out there because, again, there's a need for them. Now, this should not deter anyone from doing it. If anything, the walking leader should be used in conjunction with any other process improvement system your organization is currently using. Ultimately, it will come down to the individual who is walking around. Now, the key factor is to be yourself. And in being yourself, you will have no choice but to be authentic in what you're doing, to be genuine, to be transparent. See, for some, it will be easier than for others, unfortunately. Now, some people have a natural ability to be themselves no matter what the situation. This is not to say that no one else can be natural. Everyone is natural. But when you're in front of people, the ability to be natural can become quite unnatural. Think of stage fright. As with everything else mentioned, do not let this unnatural capability stop you from getting out in front of people. No, don't let stage fright take over. You get out in front of that. As with everything else I've mentioned, do not let, it's just insane. But please know that this is not an open invitation to be all in someone's face. Quite the contrary, you know, don't take the high ground and you're just throwing this in their face. No, instead, consider it an invitation to relax and just be yourself. Keep it up and stay true to what you want to accomplish, and eventually you will stop trying to force yourself to be yourself, and you will just be naturally yourself. Now, for those who don't possess the natural ability to come across as genuine and authentic, because, again, you have to put up that front or something, and, well, you know who you are. Maybe, think about this, maybe you're just trying too hard. Now, this is not going to turn into a section about the psychology of how one should carry oneself, but you may need to ask yourself some difficult questions and see what you're doing that is causing you to not come across as genuine, to not come across as being authentic to others. Usually, if you can answer the following question, you will know what you're doing wrong. And here's that question. How can I tell if someone else is not being genuine and authentic? Okay, ask that question. Ask yourself that question. Now, after you answer that question, then ask yourself, and be truthful, if you are guilty of committing that which you just answered, what was in that answer? If you're guilty, and you answered yes to being guilty of committing what you just answered, then you have your work cut out for you. But you know what? You now know what it is, and now you know what you have to work on. And whether you're a long-term member of the organization or a first-timer, entry-level, a great responsibility has been given to you, and it is up to you to use it wisely. So use it with genuine intent. Use it with authentic transparency. Use it. Now, when you are genuine and you're being authentic about what you're doing and how transparent you are, then what you get back will be nothing less than genuine and authentic from everybody else. And ultimately, that's what you want and the organization wants, especially in this age of openness and transparency. You have to be that way. You can't hide anything because people will quickly pick up on it, and they're going to start questioning why you're hiding something. Why does it look like you're hiding something? Why does it appear to be that you've already hid something? So think about that. Think about that. Now, achieving full openness and transparency is also a symbol of success. And that is what the walking leader is all about. Again, be yourself. Don't hide anything. Do everything you can to be open and transparent about what you're doing and why you're out there. And I'm not talking just in your department, but where you're walking out there across the entire organization. It'll be just that much easier to take care of business and to be successful. And of course, always to recruit others to not just follow you, but to recruit others to do what you're doing. And that is a walking leader. Well, folks, that takes care of rule number 18. I hope you got something out of that one, because I did again. Thank you for listening. Again, drop me an email, dave@davegarrett.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. And of course, as always, you can follow me on Twitter @DaveGuerra. So until next time, thank you very much. I'll talk to you next week, and take it easy, and we'll see you soon.